Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and I am joined, as always, by Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We are coming to you live from the LiveX studio in Midtown Manhattan, and we are ready. Oh, boy, are we ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we'll take a quick look at the Packers avoiding infamy by finally getting a win on the road, and we'll get ready for Sunday's season-ending showdown with the Lions. But right now, it's time for the bad, and the ugly. We got the bad, we got...
The good is Aaron Rodgers.
Not. We got the bad, we got...
Your boy, J.K. Scott.
We got the ugly. We got
Ron Zook in a runaway performance, taking the mantle of ugly to a whole new height.
Ron Zook, you suck.
I have to warn our viewers and listeners today. Corey Banky is in a mood, and he is not suffering no fool.
I am very depressed. I'm very depressed.
Depressed Packers.
The Packers started to depress me in the end of basically the start of the second half.
Right.
I'm glad they won somewhat. Don't really care. It doesn't matter. It's a meaningless game.
It's a different Corey Banky.
I literally want to kill everyone on Twitter. So there's that.
It's just Twitter.
It's
just Twitter.
I just, you know, the Green Bay Packers are kind of depressing right now, and anybody who kind of thinks differently is out of your mind.
I feel you. Why are they depressing?
It just...
Don't give me the varnished, like, souped-up version for broadcast. Give me the real stuff.
Who is the adult?
There you go. There it is.
Who is the adult in the room at 1265?
They don't have one.
Is there an adult? Because the last time I checked, there's a guy who gets $33.5 million per season who's playing a meaningless game. And this is a meaningless game. Okay, so here's the nuance, okay?
All right.
There's a difference between wanting to win, which I did, okay? Mm-hmm. I did. I always want to win. Even meaningless games, I want to win them, right?
Yeah. Why play if you're not going to try and win?
But as soon as we're out of the playoffs, Corey Banky, optimistic Packer fan, gets thrown through a window.
Bye.
Corey Banky.
Businessman Banky.
Businessman. The businessman behind the sleeping giant.
Oh, no.
Okay. And here's what's very depressing, right? No one has the guts. Okay, somebody on Twitter said that I personally attacked Aaron Rodgers. I said that Aaron Rodgers' head is bigger than the Packers brand. And I want somebody to tell me that that's not true.
Right.
Because everything I'm looking at, there's a guy named Aaron Rodgers who's making all the money.
Right.
And there's a team called the Green Bay Packers, and what are they getting for it? What are they getting? I did the pros and cons. What are they getting? The pros.
Bro, what's on the pro side?
The pros of playing Aaron Rodgers in this game. Fun for fans. I would have spent my money at the Jets if DeShone Kizer would have been playing that game.
Right.
And honestly, when we were down that much, it was really, it's funny. It like hit me in the second half. It just hit me.
Yep.
And I was just like, wait. Because, you know, I was like, okay, play him, see how the game goes.
Right.
But then you're down by two scores, and you're like,
and
okay.
He's been hit a number of times.
You have
gotten up clearly.
You have an
once.
Offensive line that if you take out Corey Linsley, you literally have a Division II offensive line this year.
Bakhtiari is good.
It's pretty bad. The line is pretty bad as a whole,
yes,
right?
Right.
It is a sieve from which the defense gets to the quarterback. So you got a $33 million quarterback a season. He's going to make $80 million of that 100 and whatever. Now, I wanted to talk crap about Aaron Rodgers this season, but actually, Aaron Rodgers is worth the money we're paying him. He's fifth in yards. He's 11th in TDs. He's sixth in 20-plus throws. He's first in 40-plus throws. He is worth way more than what we're paying him. So this is a nuance, right? He's worth the money.
Right.
We should win games.
Yep.
But there is no owner in the NFL. This is why the Packers, this is one of those times when the Packers not having an owner who understands the fiduciary responsibility to the organization. Now, I know that's a big word for some of you watching this show. Okay?
Oh, no.
But
send the letters to Banky.
Who is going to step up? You know, and like this whole season, This whole season, I've been like, you know what? I don't want to be that guy. It's like, I've been that guy on Nagler's shoulder. Like, I'm like the little chip. I'm like a tortilla chip on Nagler's shoulder. And people are like, oh, and he catches all the flack from me. But it's like, is there a grown-up at 1265? Is anybody paying attention? Because I understand why Aaron Rodgers wants to play. Okay? I don't understand this cerebral guy who like would really understand. I don't get why he doesn't try to make Mark Murphy take him out of the game, but okay. I understand why Aaron Rodgers wants to play. I understand his point of view.
Right.
Joe Philbin, a has-been hack of a coach who couldn't make it in Miami, who now apparently is on the table as the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, that just makes my mind explode.
Right.
So now I understand why Joe Philbin might want Aaron Rodgers to be the quarterback because he wants to look good on paper.
Yeah. No, of course.
But what about where is the owner? Where is the team? Where is the responsibility to the finances and the money of the team?
Or just the
Mark Murphy. I'm talking to you, Mark Murphy.
Or the viability of the franchise going forward the next 5 years.
What happens to this franchise if Aaron Rodgers plays in this game on Sunday?
Right. Which he's going to, by the way.
And he gets injured.
Right.
Burn the whole place down if that happens. Because that's on you, Mark Murphy. That's on you, Brian Gutekunst.
Well, that's my question. We talked about it last week, and I got poo-pooed about it. But, like, so let's say Brian Gutekunst is sitting there thinking, you know what? I've got a 5-year contract. I don't want to spend the entire thing with crap at the quarterback position because we played Aaron Rodgers in these meaningless games and he got hurt and we have a humongous chunk of our salary cap committed to him. And now we're in purgatory.
$30 to $40 million. Now they are going to raise the cap this year. So
$10 million.
So the cap's going to be between 187 and 191.
Right.
The Packers didn't spend as they are typically want to do.
They're about rolling over about 8 million.
Yeah, 8.7, right. I think, or yeah. Whatever. So 8-9 million.
And Rodgers' cap number is set to jump from roughly just over 20 to like roughly like 26 million. So that's a pretty significant chunk of your cap.
$6 million gone from your 180.
Yeah,
that's free agents you don't get. And what quarterback are you gonna find? So here's the thing. Not only did we play Aaron Rodgers in this meaningless game,
I love how, like, all of a sudden you've taken up my mantle.
Erroneously to the history of the Green Bay Packers, okay? We played Aaron Rodgers in a meaningless game. Not only did we do that, we didn't learn anything about Deshone Kizer.
Nope.
We don't even know if our backup's
any good. Like, a talent for.
We traded for a guy. We don't know anything about him.
Yep.
So we spent all this time, and we don't know shit.
True.
And nobody, and the other people I want to take to task are people I've taken to task for years, and... You know, Aaron Nagler sitting across from me has been the one to come and bring me back and be like, that is the Green Bay media. Shame on you. Shame on you. Today in the press conference of Joe Philbin.
Right.
Shame on you, Jason Wilde. Shame on you, Rob Domofsky. Shame on you, Wes Hodkiewicz. No one asked Joe Philbin, are you going to play Aaron Rodgers? No one asked him. They took the company line. Oh, if they're healthy, then they're going to go. Well, you know what, Green Bay Packers? Screw you. Screw you. You just screwed the organization. Now, you know what's going to happen?
What's going to happen?
I hope this is what happens.
Right.
The Packers win.
Right.
And I'm just a big freaking heel.
That's cool.
I hope that happens.
Right. It's possible.
I hope that happens.
But here's the thing, though. Even if they win, even if Rodgers balls out, even if like he doesn't even get close to being injured, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that doesn't mean you're wrong to be concerned and to voice it. That's the thing. People, this aged well. Yeah, it did. Because right now, it's a legitimate concern.
Yeah.
I love people already in the comments. So there are some people who are with you. And there are some people who are like, my favorite one is, why did the Jets play their $1 million? You mean the rookie who's on a rookie deal?
That they don't know anything about?
Who's played not even a full season in the NFL? If that's your comparable, you can just shut the program off right now because I don't want you watching Packer Transplants because that's the dumbest question I've ever heard.
And here's the other thing. Okay, and I've said this for years and I have been taken to task for it and I've said that the Green Bay media is a little bit nicer and a little bit less sharp around the edges than the New York media.
I think that's fair.
But as good as Aaron Rodgers' stats are this season, mm-hmm. the way he has played down the stretch
right.
has been not that good.
Yeah, especially until this week, until the Jets game.
Yep. So the New York
media
didn't
mean anything.
Aaron Rodgers has never experienced anything like what Eli Manning has to experience in his career.
No.
Okay?
No.
And it is very obvious right now. It is very obvious that the coach, the owner, and the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers are all the same person. And that's upsetting.
Ooh.
For an organization that is about to be 100 years old, that's pathetic. And if Joe Philbin, this whole Joe Philbin thing today, I know we're going to talk about it.
It's not going to
It's a bunch of BS. It's basically Pro Football Talk.
Florio getting you going, baby.
Florio's like trying to do the clickbait. I saw some other articles about it. But there is no one, there is no fan of the Green Bay Packers that can look at our team last weekend.
Right.
What are you laughing about?
Jersey Al just nailed it. Something happened to Corey at MetLife. New Jersey can do that to you.
It really can. Yeah, I saw him on there.
It's so perfect.
It's so depressing.
Well, what happened to you at MetLife is you saw the first half of that game. You saw Rodgers
get Rodgers out of there
times, and you saw your future with the Packers flash in front of your eyes.
Yeah, and I was like,
you finally understood what the fuck I was talking about last week when I said it.
I mean,
makes no sense.
I understood it
for him to play in these two games. And my thing is like, look. I get it. He wants to lead. He wants chemistry with his teammates. He wants to be able to look back and say, I did it. That's great. And I applaud that desire. But as you say, where is the grown-up saying, no, Aaron, that's a dumb, colossally dumb idea. And I get it. Oh, it's football. You wouldn't understand the camaraderie and the bonding.
What a crock
and
why of you shit.
Give me a break. Give me a break. Is all of that nonsense worth the catastrophic setback it would be if Aaron were to get hurt? No.
No.
Stop. Cease your internal dialogue
literally,
right now.
It's literally a bottom line decision. And that's what's so disappointing. And these are the people, by the way. This is the person, this non-adult in the room that no one wants to talk about. And I'm sick of being nice to, because F that. This is the person who is going to decide the future head coach of the Green Bay Packers.
And that's
the person who cannot contain. So he couldn't contain his head of a quarterback. So we got to get rid of Mike McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
Mike McCarthy was probably one of the adults in the room.
Yep.
So now you got rid of an adult. Okay.
But here's my question. And this is what I was talking about the last couple weeks. So let's say Gutekunst wants to sit him down. Well, does he talk to the coach who's on organizationally the same plane he
is? No, yeah, you made that point last
week. He's got to go to Mark Murphy.
Mark Murphy has to make that decision.
So this is on Murphy.
100%.
100% on Murphy. You inserted yourself onto the football side. Yes. You wanted to break down those silos. Okay. Then all of this comes back to you.
But what's ridiculous
Welcome.
Is who else is talking about this?
Nobody. That's the funniest thing.
Literally.
Like, it's over. It's been swallowed.
The blogger, the bloggers. Bob McGinn, the blogger, and yep. Aaron Nagler, the blogger.
Yep.
And I finally woke up in the second half because I was like, oh my God, our quarterback's about to get creamed. And I want him to play in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very, you know, I want to win. The whole draft thing, the whole like, that throw that out the window. I don't even think about the draft until the season's over. Your season is what it is, and we've talked about this before. You can't expect guys. It's not fantasy, okay? Get over yourself. You can't tank games. That doesn't happen. Nope. Or if it does happen, please don't tell me because that's going to ruin my entire life. But you just can't. I don't have that mentality. I play to win. I'm a competitive person. When you have competitive people, you don't say, oh, by the way, lose. So I'm not saying that. I'm saying, like, we should have won with Kaiser. We should have won with whoever
exactly.
we had. Shit, try out my boy. Everybody wanted to play.
Tim Boyle.
We don't know what we got in Tim Boyle. This is
a
fundamental issue right now. Like, I've been thinking about this since the Jets game, and like, I can't even look at Twitter because it just gets me so depressed because I'm like, literally people tweeting at me are like, that was the greatest game of the season. Okay.
Did you miss week one?
Week one. Come back against the Bears at Lambeau. Greatest game of the season. Don't fucking at me!
You're so gone, man. I love it. I've just like wound you up.
I hate,
you go.
Okay, this is the time in the season.
Right.
When you realize, like, oh my God, now I know why 1265 doesn't like to deal with Packer fans.
Because you're dealing with Packer fans every day?
Well, I'm dealing with people who call them, who use the word Packer and fan together.
Yikes. I feel you. Wow, man. That none of that was in the script, by the way. That's just Corey, unplugged.
I just hate this right now. It's just, it's like, is anybody paying attention? And it's just like Green Bay. It's just like, you know? And it's just like, today I asked you, I was like, did anybody ask Philbin? How could they not? How that is like such an abdication of responsibility by everyone.
Yep.
Hey, it's fine. We're paying the guy. Shut up and just have fun.
Yep.
Let's all shut up and have fun. And then 1929 hits us. And then we're like, oh, maybe we should have thought
about. Maybe we didn't want to be in the dark days again.
Maybe we don't want to be in a position where we're $30 million in the cap hole and we don't have a quarterback.
What I love is someone saying, these are my favorite. These false equivalencies are always my favorite. Another one. Well, you know, if we didn't sit Favre when we were 4-whatever, you know, you play to win, you play all the games, et cetera, et cetera. Favre wasn't on the injury report every single week that year, including a new injury sustained the week before.
Wait, what is the false equivalency here?
That, but what? If Favre played, why shouldn't Rodgers play? Is ridiculous.
Rodgers should not play.
There's no comparison.
You take a poll of 31 NFL owners, guys who actually put their own money and care about the bottom line, business owners, okay? There is not one of them that would have played Rodgers on Sunday. The only team that will play Rodgers on Sunday is the Green Bay Packers, and it's because the position that we're in with an interim head coach, the interim head coach thing Fs us. It just Fs us. It's stupid. And that goes back to why did we get rid of McCarthy? Now, McCarthy would have probably put, if McCarthy knew his job was on the line, he might play Rodgers. So that's because he's not thinking about the long term. It's why you got to sign guys.
It's the GM's job. It's literally the GM's job. But the GM has been robbed of his authority by the CEO. It's as simple as that.
One day I will realize the NFL scripted. Many people have tried to tell me this.
I love that. I'll tell that to the guys I'm talking to who are like, you know, rehabbing from, you know, every injury known to man, including, you know, brain damage. Yeah, it's scripted.
Yeah, tell that to the guy who's making $4,000 as a cornerback.
Moron. All right. So should we get on script now? There's some news. There's some news to talk about. First up, the Packers. They finally got an 18 road victory, Corey, and you were there to see it.
Yay.
They do avoid, as we said, the title of this show, avoid infamy. Not becoming the first Packers team in a 16-game schedule not to ever win a road game. So that's good. Right? Applaud that?
No.
Okay. Moving on. Kenny Clark is on injured reserve. Ugh. This time for real. There were reports a couple weeks ago that he was going on IR. Then he didn't go on IR. But as of today, officially on IR. So there you go.
Lancaster was like, I was watching him because of what you said. Right. I was like watching him in the game a lot. He's
legit.
Yeah, he's got green shoots.
Definitely. The Packers, I was pretty surprised by this. The Packers reportedly did put in a waiver claim on DJ Swearinger, the safety who was released by Washington. Obviously, the Packers had him in 2015 for a workout. Ted decided not to pull the trigger. I had heard that Gutekunst was kind of the spearhead there, so I'm not surprised in the interest. I am surprised in the waiver claim, but apparently they must really like the guy. Of course, the Packers had a bad season, probably lower on the waiver claim than usual, but not low enough because the Arizona Cardinals put in a claim and they claimed him. So Packers were interested. As of today, getting some news from today, 9 players, to quote Ferris Bueller's principal and mother, 9 players missed practice today, including one David Bakhtiari. Although Bakhtiari afterwards in the locker room did say he plans on playing Sunday because Aaron Rodgers is playing. And if Aaron's out there, then David's going to be out there. And finally, shout out to Davante Adams, 1 catch away from tying Sterling Sharp's record for catches in a season. He needs 2 catches on Sunday, and then he will break that record, which I have to admit, I never in a million years thought I would see. I just thought because of the way,
good for Devontae,
especially the way Aaron Rodgers is spreading the football around, McCarthy's offense designed to really kind of use multiple weapons. We've seen so many games where they've had 8, 9, 10 guys get catches. I never thought we'd see a singular receiver break 193, but He's on the doorstep.
Well, and it goes to, you know, I hate to be negative Nelly, but I guess that's what I'm going to be all show.
Do it.
Is it goes to the fact that we didn't spread it around the season. We didn't do the short passes. We didn't dink and dunk. We got away from our offense, and we had to rely on – in some ways, it's like if you were going to rely on Devontae, kudos to him. First
done
off.
More.
Kudos Here, to him.
Here's my
he should have had more.
You should have more, and here's the thing with Devontae.
And he was open more times.
What's crazy about Devontae is – okay, forget all the rewind with you look back at 2015 when so many Packer fans wanted him cut because he was having a rough season. Forget all that. I mean, just the journey from there to now. But think about how he has produced no matter what.
Yeah.
Whether it's Aaron Rodgers in his prime peak position, whether it's Aaron Rodgers struggling, whether it's Brett Hundley. It doesn't matter whether the offense is complete garbage. It doesn't matter. Devontae Adams over the last 2+ years has been absolutely ridiculous.
And because of his play last season, that's why Jordy was shown the door, which now Wildy has this ridiculous like idea to bring Jordy Nelson back for $4 million or something.
I know.
You know, I want to talk about two things.
Oh, boy.
What about the fans who only have tickets to one game, Sunday's game? They want to see the best, not the scrubs. What do I say to that?
What do you say to that, Benke?
I say that I'm a Green Bay Packer fan, and I will be a Green Bay Packer fan longer than anyone who currently holds a job at 1265.
Word.
Maybe the greens person or somebody who will maybe retire before I'm dead, right?
Right, right.
But I want... the future of the Green Bay Packers should be the thing that we care most about once the season is over. So it's really easy. Can you make the playoffs? Then keep playing to make the playoffs no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make the playoffs? Then play to extend the players you know you're going to have next year, because there's going to be a lot of guys around the 53 right now. They ain't going to be there next year.
Yep.
And you know what? I want to know what we have in DeShone Kizer. I don't want to take those precious games next year to figure it out.
Right.
Right? And the reason, and somebody else was like, I don't get so mad. You know, they played Aaron Rodgers. They decided to do it. They won. Move on. And it's like, okay. I don't want to be the guy who told you so. Neither does Nagler. I don't want to be that guy. But you think I'm pissed now?
Woo, Nelly.
By playing Rodgers on Sunday and him getting injured, if that happens, you are literally throwing away all chances that we have of winning the Super Bowl next year or any year after.
And maybe a few more years, depending on how bad the injury is.
And so that's why I'm depressed right now. That's why I'm pissed off, because that's the reality. And you know what? Have you ever watched the Green Bay Packers? You know how many times Aaron Rodgers has gotten injured and had to go out?
A couple times.
It's happened. We missed a whole freaking season last year. And we almost missed one this year. And there could be an argument that we did miss one this year because of an injury. Mm-hmm. No one knows.
Right.
So why are you playing with fire? Why? So either get up on it now and do something about it, which they're not going to do anything. They're not going to change because of me. All that's going to happen because of my rants right now is certain people at 1265 will just dislike me more. Fine. Fine. Mark Murphy's going to hate me more. Wow. I mean, I don't even think there's more to give. So what does that matter? And some other people who probably were like, oh, Corey,
he's okay.
He's a big fan, but you know, whatever. It's like, yeah, I'm a big fan. This is what I do. What did I do last weekend? I got my Packer programs and I went through them and I'm getting my Packer program database ready. I have 11.5% of every Green Bay Packer program ever made. I had to figure that out. I had to go through 100 seasons. I had to count the games. I had to get them in my database. I had to go to the game matrix. Like, that's what I did. I don't have children.
Nope.
I have Cheesehead TV and I have this show and I have my company and that's it. So I'm here and I'm not going anywhere. So,
well, that's always my thing. Whenever anybody like talks about, like, Jeff Janis took me to task on Twitter about my
Jeff
Ron
Janis.
About firing Ron.
Go
Zook.
Away, Jeff Janis.
He tried to
Go
say away. Like, oh yeah, sure. A reporter goes in and talks to Zook and then goes to Twitter and says fire him. I'm like, first of all, I can't talk to Ron Zook because the Packers won't credential Cheesehead TV. That's fine. That's an argument for another time. Whatever. So at least know your audience, right? Know who you're trying to rip here.
Yeah.
But secondly, this is the thing that always makes me laugh, because people are always like, aren't you worried that so-and-so is not going to like you? Meaning a Packers player or executive or whatever. And I'm always like, I was here long before they were in the building, and I'm going to be here long after they're gone.
Yeah, we've already proved we're not going.
Like, it doesn't
Packers
matter.
Used to be like, oh, you can't be credentialed because we don't know how long you're going to be around. Well,
we're still here.
11 years later.
We're off script anyway. Can we talk about that for a second? I find it really interesting. You're talking about bees in our bonnets here, and you want to get off script and talk about nonsense? Let's do it.
I hope a certain person is watching right now.
Because I want to know. I want to know, what's the difference between us and The Athletic?
Nothing. VC money.
Is that it?
We're bootstrapped.
I mean, really. Because the argument against Cheesehead TV has always been, oh, well, if you, Aaron Nagler, say something we don't like, or if you say something offensive, or if you fuck up, we don't have any recourse. Well, yeah, you do. Corey Banky's right here.
Yeah, or call Nagler.
I mean, it's not tough, all right? I'm sorry, at The Athletic?
It's a VC
if
money.
If Mike Cohen
but
or
they have millions of dollars of VC money, though.
Says writes something offensive or does something wrong, blah, blah, blah. What's your recourse there? Yes, you call a human being who works for The Athletic.
To a company that's only been around for 5 months.
I'm sorry, how long have they been around?
Like 5 months.
Oh, no, a little longer than that. Maybe a year or two. I'm sorry, Cheesehead TV's been here since 2007.
It's ridiculous.
And we don't have credentials, but The Athletic, oh, here's $1 billion. Oh, walk on in, Michael Cohen. And don't get me wrong, love Mike, worked with Mike. I have nothing but respect for his work. But the fact that he and Josh, whoever, can walk in with credentials to 1265 Lombardi, but Cheesehead TV, oh, clutch our pearls, that's some bullshit.
It is.
All right.
It is. Oh, and you know the only reason that Michael Cohen has credentials working for that organization is because Mark Murphy reads him.
It's true.
So if Mark Murphy likes you
If you
guys-
want to pick and choose, just say we're picking and choosing. Don't say it's because we don't have any recourse. That's bullshit.
It's true. But if Mark Murphy likes you, and if Mark Murphy wants you to play, if you'd say, Mark Murphy, hey, I need to play in this game, he'll let you. Don't worry.
Oh, we're letting it all out today, baby. Next, we can talk about why our training camp show got shut down.
No.
That'll be fun.
Next week, we're gonna talk about what you want from us next year.
Yeah, that's good.
We'll actually care about you.
Yep.
Well, I will. But
Cold bank.
Right now, I just have... Look, you can have a different opinion than me. I get it, but you know, my problem is I've stepped in all the point of views. Mm-hmm. And I get where everybody's at, and it's like we're in denial. It's literally like everyone's in denial right now, and I just can't be.
Word.
I can't be. And I think it's great if we win this Sunday and nothing happens. I pray that is the case, because that's what I want to happen. And
yeah.
I pray that
that's
I
That's the thing. You can say this is a dumb decision to play Rodgers
and still want to win
watch
the game.
Yeah. Watch Rodgers in the game. Get excited for Rodgers in the game. Cheer when they win. You can exist on both of those planes.
Yep.
And if you can't, then you're a moron.
Yeah, pretty much.
Simple.
Pretty much.
Good Lord.
Okay.
So should we move on to the offense?
Sure. I'm sure the control room's like, what's going on?
What the control room is like, we have lost control.
Murphy is about to give credentials to Grossi. Yeah, he will. After this rant.
You mean Tom Grossi, who he's interviewed with twice? Murphy's never come on this program, despite repeated invitations.
You know who has come on this program?
Roger Goodell.
That's right.
Roger Goodell's been on Tracker Transplant.
Goodell, the commission
that's still
himself.
That still kind of blows my mind.
Blows my mind.
He doesn't know what he was
doing. But it happened.
He just...
It's real, though.
It's real.
It happened.
But you know, it was just him walking and an assistant handed him a phone.
I'm talking to two guys.
And a guy was like hand over the receiver, like, okay, this is Aaron and Corey. You're very excited to talk to them. And then that was it. And then he just went. Nagler just mad. He's got nobody that likes him in the Packers organization.
Oh, man. I got notifications coming out of my... Oh, my goodness. Oh, man.
So Jamal Williams is a workhorse. How awesome was Jamal Williams on Sunday? I mean, everyone talking about, you know, Aaron Jones this and Aaron Jones that all year, and they finally commit to Jamal Williams in a game because they have to, and all he does is ball out.
Yeah.
I love this
guy. I kind of expected
that. I love this guy.
It was the mixing it up that was really, like, hurting things, though.
Well, and that's the thing. Because it's clear, you watch that game, and it becomes pretty clear that Jamal Williams is one of those backs. One of those guys that needs a ton of touches, and he gets going. He just gets in the groove.
But I feel like Aaron Jones is that way, too.
Exactly. But, like, you just, this mixing, constant mixing and matching, of course, nobody's going to get into a groove. So, I just loved watching him ball out. It was great. I mean, everything from how he runs, he loves contact, he loves the physical aspect of the game, to his signaling touchdown by doing all this.
Yeah, that touchdown was ridiculous. I love him, too. That touchdown was ridiculous.
I love him. I love Jamal Williams. Kumerow.
I knew it was going to happen. As soon as I saw Kumerow on the I was only like 12 rows up. As soon as I saw Kumerow on the sideline, I was like, this is happening.
It's balling. It's happening. Kumerow. But here's the thing. What I loved about the touchdown that Kumerow had was it showcased everything good about the Packers offense that was kind of missing all year. And we can roll it here. We've got this clip. From the throw from Rodgers, which is obviously something you immediately look at, putting it right between those two defenders, to obviously Kumerow in the move he makes afterwards. But this blitz pickup by Jamal Williams to keep the pocket clean, it's like everything about this touchdown is kind of everything you were pining for. And look, two guys mugging up on Graham, opening up Kumerow. It's like everything you want from the offense in one play. Where has it been all year? Of course, Kumerow's been hurt.
I'm not going to be negative Nelly, but I kind of want to be. I kind of feel like, yeah, he had a better game. He still had. They go all-out blitz. He doesn't get the ball out of his hands. He clearly sees the all-out blitz. Like, what is he thinking there, right? Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of plays that happened on Sunday that it's just like, I don't know. It's like I don't know.
I feel you.
I'm not going to say anything. I've said enough.
And then speaking of the issues throughout the season on offense, I thought this, and don't get me wrong, MVS had a strong game. I thought he played well, but this miss here from Rodgers is very much on MVS, and it kind of showcases the issues with the young guys and their lack of chemistry with Rodgers, even this deep into the season. We can roll this clip of watch how MVS, he makes his cut, and he's open over the middle. Zone opens up, and here, he just slightly stops. And it's funny because, like, just that, that's how small. Just right there, that just that little slight hesitation, that's what does it. And it's just Rodgers expects him to keep going. He thinks he's going to sit it down, and that's it. And that's what Rodgers is talking about when he's, after every game, when he's talking about, like, the small details, where that's the window. That's the margin of error. That if you're just that little bit off, that's what derails an offense.
Yep.
So I thought that was, I just liked that the camera finally caught one of these instances where, you know, it's like this guy did his job well and this guy did his job well. They were just a little bit off.
Yep.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's the margin for error.
Well, and that goes to that margin of error. It's almost like, in the last 3 or 4 years, it's almost like we have too many young guys that don't understand that and not enough vets that really understand it. And so there have been other seasons where we learned that by the end of, like,
and
like
I think,
2010, I feel like everybody kind of got that. It's like we had enough games early on where we had, like, the little mistakes become like, wow, those two things were the game.
And, well, and then back
to, so you take it to heart.
You also had Jimmy Robinson, an old school coach, doing the wide receiver coaching. And now you've got David Rye, who, I mean, whether you buy into Bob McGinn's report or not, I mean, all year long, these young guys keep making the same mistakes.
Yeah.
Rodgers keeps talking about it week in and week out at the podium. I should tell you something, that these mistakes are not getting corrected.
Yeah, well, it goes
That's coaching.
I think that's probably Mike McCarthy's Achilles heel this season and why he's not the head coach anymore. You know, besides losing the confidence of Aaron Rodgers, if you're assistant coaches, right? If you're not Bill Belichick stopping your assistant coaches from taking head coaching positions, you're kind of doing it wrong. Like, if you're not building people up to get them out there and making your tree like Holmgren did, like Bill Walsh did, like, you're kind of not doing it right. So who are these guys? Like, you know,
well, it's funny because whenever McCarthy's kind of coaching tree starts growing, they just kind of wither and die, whether it's Philbin in Miami or McAdoo in New York. You know, they haven't had great success as head coaches yet.
Can the last time we see Joe Philbin on the Green Bay Packers be on Sunday? Please, God. The best thing I heard him say was the Monday after the game, the place is like a ghost town, which thanks, Joe, for talking shit about Green Bay. I know you were talking about 1265, but thanks, Joe. Appreciate you. Because I hope that the first guy on a plane out of here, can we just stop with this nonsense? Stop.
You don't want Joe Philbin to be the next head coach of the Green Bay Packers? We're talking about this in Blogosphere, by the way, but we can talk about it now if you want.
I think Joe Philbin as head coach would be worse than Dan Devine.
Wow. That's a bold call, Banky. Bold call. Let's get to the defense. I'll just say this about the D. Horrible start, fantastic finish. And I know they had their issues throughout the game, whether it's trying to rush the passer, whether it's covering guys on the back end. When you've got undrafted Tony Brown checking their number one wideout because Jair got injured, and you put them in a horrible, horrible position at the end of the game by giving up a god-awful return to put them already in field goal range, but now they've got a legit possible touchdown in their sights, and you hold them and force that field goal to send it to overtime where Aaron Rodgers is allowed to make his magic, that's a job well done. And there's a lot of people on Twitter were getting after the defense after the game, and I'm like, look, you're completely decimated up front. You got Kenny Clark down, Mike Daniels down, Muhammad Wilkerson down. You've got nobody up front. You're using Lancaster and some guy you got from the Raiders, and you're just throwing bodies out there comparative to the start of the season when you had your full squad. And on the back end, half of that defensive backfield wasn't even with the team at the start of the year. Maybe more than half.
And you're trying to get a safety.
So it's like
waivers.
Yeah. So I thought, for all the struggles and all the issues on defense, I mean, they hung together. And that's, of course, the special teams didn't give them any kind of help.
Oh, Ron Zook. Hey, let's not kick the ball in the end zone. Let's kick it to the guy who ran a touchdown on us.
Oh, geez, Lou.
Ron Zook. Okay. I have this tweet. Dear. If you go back to my profile, I literally tweeted it right after the play. Right. And I don't like it. I don't like that I said it.
Oh, boy.
And I don't say it a lot. And if you look what I said about Ron Zook, but you know what? I went to Aaron on Monday.
Monday, right.
And I said, Nagler, I said, look, I don't like to be this person. And I basically said, I effing hate you, Ron Zook, on Twitter, right?
Right.
And I think that that's terrible. You shouldn't hate people.
Right. No.
Hate is bad.
Hate. Spread love.
I hate Ron Zook.
Oh, God. That's bad. That's the thing, though. Zook is a great guy if you meet him.
No, I hate him.
I know. Just meet him. You'll like him.
He is killing the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
Burn. Get him out of there. Get him out. Actually, you know what? I said Philbin should be the first person on Monday. No. Philbin could be second.
Yeah. Philbin should be packed during the game.
Ron Zook, oh my God. You don't have to. Okay, there's a guy I watch at all the games, the guy who holds breakers. He's like the assistant special teams coach, and he holds the breaker sign and he holds punt. And I got mad at that guy one time in one of the Packers games because it was third down and he's holding the punt sign.
Ready for it.
And I'm like, bro, put the punt sign down, bro. Put the punt sign down. You're jinxing. And anytime I see that guy, I want to throw something at him because I'm like, put the punt sign down.
If it's time to punt,
then pick the punt sign up.
Sign.
Right after the third down. Don't pick it up on third down, bro. Because you're just like, you're telling.
But tell me this. This year, it's probably better to be.
No, prepared. No. You're still telegraphing. You're telegraphing to the defense that you have no confidence in them.
I know. I feel you.
Okay. So that guy, whoever that guy is, get rid of that guy too. Get rid of them all. If there's anybody left from Ron Zook's special teams coaching staff, it's a fail.
Yeah.
Just get rid of them. Burn them to the ground.
Here's somebody in the chat said this, and I want to get the Banky, the Banky take. Mike Pettine, should he be considered for the head coaching position in Green Bay?
No. He should be considered for defensive.
Well, he already is defensive.
Coordinator. Well, but I think.
Well, you should stay where he is.
You're going to get a head coach.
Right.
You said this last week.
Yeah.
You're going to get a head coach, and you got to go, coach. Would you like to burn all these people to the ground?
Right. Or would you like to keep
Mike? Or would you like to keep whoever you would like?
See, I think Mike should get an interview. I really do. I think he's done enough work. He's been a head coach before. He said he doesn't want to be a head coach again, but you never know. Guys can change their mind.
I really want Mike Tomlin.
Dude, Mike Tomlin would be bald.
Mike Tomlin would be a great hire. He's a guy who's long-term. He's a guy who...
He's burned out in his spot.
He's burned out in his
Just
spot.
Like Mike burned out in
Great
his.
Coach.
Switch him.
He was really good I don't want to say his name because I don't like him because he's...
The quarterback?
Yeah, the quarterback.
Right.
Roethlisberger? Yeah, I can't say his name because he's...
I
call him a certain other name.
I know.
But yeah, I mean, that's the guy, right? That's a guy. There's a lot of other guys, but I think that would be a good hire.
But that's dependent on him getting fired, and I don't think Pittsburgh's going to go that way. That's just not how they operate. Of course, I said that about Green Bay firing Mike in season, and then they did that. So after, 100 years of precedent being flushed down the toilet, who knows? Maybe Pittsburgh follows the same model. We'll see. I wanted to give a shout-out to Blake Martinez. I tell you what, he does not get asked to rush the quarterback often.
No.
But when he is asked and does do it, he delivers.
Yeah. He had a better first half of the season than the second half, would you say?
I'd agree with that. I think, but when he's given the green light, I think, what's he got, like 5 sacks in the season, 5.5, something like that? When he's given the green light, he gets there. He's just got a good knack for timing, a good knack for when to kind of make it look like he's staying in coverage and or tracking the ball carrier and then shooting a gap.
Like, yeah, I
he's
feel like
good at it. He's got a knack for it.
Yeah, I feel like last season the jury was kind of out on him, but now I feel like he's a solid guy.
He's a solid player. He's got to make more turnover plays.
Yeah.
Kind of take that next step.
But a lot of it is lack of...
But he's a productive guy.
Yeah.
Who's always in the right spot.
Yep.
Maybe he has
pretty good tackler.
Pretty good tackler. He has some trouble getting off the blocks from some of those interior guys, but you could do a lot worse, and I think he's a really good player.
But a lot of that is because you don't have really a defensive line that you can kind of count on, right? You don't even have two guys. You had Kenny Clark, but you don't really have, like, a plugger. You don't really have, like, and that's hard for a linebacker.
I don't understand. People, like, hate Mike Tomlin as an idea. Some people. Some people love it.
Whatever.
Some people hate it. I'm like, but...
What's to hate? Like, look at the Steelers' record. They have a better record than us over the last 10 years, I think.
But
couple games.
Football? I mean, he's a great football coach. He's a great football coach who is just burned out in his spot. Like, this happens all the time in the NFL.
Everybody's trying to troll me with a J.K. Scott chat.
Oh, yeah, baby. Well, hey, I said I put him in the bad just for you. Because holy cow, when they desperately needed him to deliver, he had like a 30-yard punt.
Dude, anybody who says
that's happened way too often.
Anybody who says that J.K. Scott is good needs to go away.
All right. Finally, the Packers got something in Tony Brown. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. This kid stepped up in that game. Jair goes down.
Yeah.
Brown steps up. Not Josh Jackson.
Yeah.
Not Bershawn Breeland.
Josh Jackson.
Not any, like, Tony Brown, undrafted, out of Alabama, comes in. And as we've seen, he's flashed all year, but he really locked down their number one wideout. I mean, that's just a really, really strong performance from a kid who, again, you look online, he commits a couple bonehead penalties early in the season, and everyone's ready to cut him. This is why you don't cut guys, who, especially when they have a ton of talent.
Yeah.
Got to let it try to mature. And he seems to be maturing. Now, off seasons... That's where things are, you make or break your career, really, as a player, especially as a young player. If he sticks his nose in the playbook, whatever playbook that ends up being, tries to hone his craft and comes back ready to go, he's got a legit promising future in Green Bay.
I mean, we got to have a head coach by January 15th, right?
Well, hopefully sooner than that. We'll see.
But that's like a deadline, right?
Well, it's not really. I mean,
how are you going to do
it? Not necessarily, but you would like it sooner rather than later.
I mean, we start.
Maybe they wait till after the Super Bowl. What if whoever it is they're interested in goes to the Super Bowl? Then they have to wait.
Well, who's going to go? Sean McVay or?
McVay could, but McVay's got Zach Taylor, who's his quarterback's coach.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's Josh McDaniels. Maybe the Patriots make a run, Those guys end up in the Super Bowl, and the Packers got to wait.
Man, if we got to wait that long, that's not good.
You're going to lose your mind.
That's not good. Good thing we don't have a lot of shows in January.
Nope. Okay, keys to the Packers versus the Bears. Packers versus the Lions. This is it. This is the only key. I got one key. Get Devontae the ball early and often. That's it. That's the whole key to the game. I don't care about anything else. Get Devontae this record.
And please, 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 a million times, don't let Aaron Rodgers get injured.
Well, that goes without saying, but yes.
That's a key to the game. That's a key to life. What happened?
Sorry. Perils of being a father while live on the air. I think it's time for Blogosphere. What do you think, Corey?
I think it's time. We'll be right back.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right! It's This Week in the Packer blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Okay, you mentioned it earlier. We'll touch on it real quick. Mike Florio, putting it out there, because that's what he does. He tries to read between the lines. Sometimes he's successful. Sometimes it's an epic faceplant, and that's what this was when he talked about Aaron Rodgers clearly, or maybe apparently, trying to angle for Joe Philbin to be the next head. No. No, just nah, dude, nah. Rodgers did mention, yes, we want to play for Joe, because they respect him, and they want him to have the best chance possible. They want to put forth their effort because they're professionals. And right now, he is their coach, interim though he may be. But that is not Rodgers saying, oh, I really hope he gets the job. And then Mike throwing in, again, at the end, a little twist of like, what happens if they ignore their quarterback's wishes and hire someone else just to spite him? Like, dude, just stop. Just stop. I know you're trying to drive.
Well, they're not going to hire anybody to spite him, but they're going to hire someone who is going to manage him. And if that person does not manage him, they're going to have an epic failure of epic proportions until he's gone.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know what's crazy here? People are going to lose their mind when I say this because I thought about this.
Oh, God.
Did we make a mistake?
Oh, don't go there. Oh,
don't do it. Aaron Rodgers an extension.
No, Becky, you didn't go there. Why did you? No,
I didn't say we did. I didn't say we did. I say, did we? Did we?
Oh, now I have to unleash my wrath on you.
What I did is I started with that premise, right? Because that's what you do sometimes. You're like, you know what? Let's unfurl this thread, right? And then when I did, I came up with the stats and I'm like, okay, Banky, you're crazy.
Correct.
Look at his stats. Correct. You are insane. Yes. There is no way that you could ever look at that.
And begin to go find a guy who's going to A, replace that.
Yes.
Be able to even come close to give you the level of quarterback play. But, even on his down year.
Okay. And I'm not advocating, but I'm just throwing this out here, okay? Did we lose some of the leverage we may have had? Because we didn't have to extend him. He had 2 more years, right?
Correct.
We still could franchise tag him. I know people are like, oh, well, that pisses people off. So what? It's business.
Right.
You know what? Absolutely. That's the rules. Play by the rules. So could we have waited another year, right? I'm just saying. Now, I know that everybody's happier, right?
Right.
If you do this now, it's cap friendly. I've read all the things, and it is.
Well, it is, and it isn't. I mean,
More cap friendly than other QB contracts.
Yes. Well, especially with the cap going up, it'll become more and more friendly.
Right. So, just want to throw that out there. I don't agree with the I went down the rabbit hole. I was like, okay, I'm going to throw this on Nagler.
Okay, now here's what nobody talks about. This is what nobody talks about. And it's something that didn't get widely reported, but this is a fact. Where his contract, where it was, everyone talks about he had 2 more years left and they could franchise him and all that stuff. His guaranteed money was up. Like, you really think this is the leverage that he had? Everyone talked about him not having leverage. You really think Rodgers would have stepped on the field week 1? You don't think he would have pulled a Sterling Sharp last minute and said, nope, you better rearrange my contract, boys, because I ain't stepping out there without any guaranteed money. You best believe that. That's my belief. I'll go to my grave thinking that. Because, like, look, like you say, and as every observer talks about, oh, they had no reason to. Then why did they do it?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, they didn't do it because
that maybe there was a reason.
That's true.
That's all I'm saying.
That's a good point. And I bring it up because you got to go. The problem is that any observer of where we are right now, Packer fan or not,
right,
you know, if you... I have a feeling that if you poll 100 sports writers about whether Aaron Rodgers should play this Sunday, I think you'd get like 98 to 100 that he should not, right? So, you know, there's that. So it's like, okay, well, then if you take that and you unfurl the thread back to where it's like, okay, this all started, Mike McCarthy getting fired, and everything started because you had to ultimately make a decision between one of the two, and the guy you pay more is the guy you're going to the dance with.
Be the case.
It was.
I mean, there was no doubt. And that That writing was on the wall when they gave Mike McCarthy a secret extension. Like, usually when you're like, look at the Seahawks. They just gave Pete Carroll an extension, and it was trumpeted, and it was huge. When you get to the end of the season and go, oh, yeah, by the way, we signed this guy for another year back in October and didn't tell anybody about it. That tells you where you are with your coach. I mean, that just ultimately it was on Mike to have a squad that balled out, make a run. And if he had done that, and if they had done that, he'd still be in Green Bay.
Yeah.
But they didn't, so they won't.
Well, they didn't, but I think number one is it was very clear. I think the only reason, okay, this is speculation, but I think that the—
On an entertainment program? How dare you?
Is this entertaining?
I doubt it. Although a number of people have said this is the best transplants all year. So okay. Thank you.
So here's the thing. I personally feel that the reason Mark Murphy went against precedent,
right,
100 years of precedent or 99 years of precedent, 99 right. years of right. precedent, right. sorry,
right,
because they're going into their 100th Correct. Year. Correct. I think it was because Mike McCarthy lost the confidence of his quarterback. I think that's the number one reason.
I think that's pretty obvious.
I think that was...
But if that's the case, I mean, and if that's the driving reason... Could have done it after that fucking Buffalo game when they scored 22 points and Rodgers comes to the podium afterwards and just passively, aggressively rips his coach to shreds.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, fine, all right, if that's the driver, then it's been the driver since week four.
I mean, can anyone... Okay, so this is my other question. I'm going to pause it.
Oh, God.
Can anyone... Can anyone... Reset QB1? Is it even possible?
Of course it's possible. I don't know who it is. It's going to take a man coming in there and completely blowing the socks off of Murphy and Gutekunst in the interview process. And it's going to be someone who's going to come in and know how to communicate with QB1. And I don't know who that is. The next month and a half, we'll find out who they're talking to. And we'll see who Murphy and Gutekunst think is the best man for the job. But don't get it twisted. That is the job. Like, this is the window you have. Gutekunst wants to have another contract after this one is up. And a big part of that is if they keep winning, and a big part of winning is having your quarterback right.
And a big part of that is pushing the reset button on his brain.
100%. Speaking of pushing the reset button on Rodgers' brain, this was dropped, I believe, by Bleacher Report either this morning or last night. It's awesome. I loved it, so I clipped it, and I wanted to show it here because I flipping love it. Anna, roll it.
Postseason. Dear God, or Dalai Lama, or whatever, I don't know, I'm still searching. Please show me the way.
Jordy Nelson?
Now, I hope you weren't trying to tank. Tanking's a sin.
No, but sometimes I wish I was just never even drafted at all.
Hmm, that's an idea. What do you think, Vince Lombardi? Okay, I agree. You've never been drafted.
Hey, my leg stopped hurting. What?
I'm 49 years old, and I'm still the quarterback of the Packers.
Without you, Brett Favre wouldn't leave. The Packers haven't won a game in 10 years. State Farm shut down. Nobody was here to discount Double Check. The Bears won that 2010 NFC Championship.
I'm Jay Cutler, and I never give up.
Clay, don't you know me?
Help, this man is scaring me.
Jordy, get me back. I want to be on the Packers again.
Hey, Aaron.
Hey, watch your... My leg's hurting, Brett. My leg's hurting. Merry Christmas, Green Bay.
Aaron, the owner's going to make changes.
We're going to hire someone with imaginative play calling.
Every time a whistle blows, the Packers still have more rings than the Bears.
Ultimately, it was that last bit that made me clip it. Because I was like, the whole thing, I'm kind of smiling, kind of laughing. And then they said that at the end. And I was like, oh, that's precious. So thank you, Bleacher Report. That's some awesome, awesome content. And finally, got to give a shout out. Congratulations to Joseph Maloney. He's our latest winner in our Overstock t-shirt contest. Joseph, there's an email waiting for you. Let us know which t-shirt you want. If you would like to be entered to win a... Cheesehead TV t-shirt of some type, go to our Patreon, join. It's $5 a month to support everything we do, whether it's transplants, whether it's Packers Daily, everything we do at the site, $5 a month. Your name appears in the credits of this here program. Corey, you got anything else?
I did. What do they have? Oh, I wanted to ask you a question, but I forgot what it was.
Oh, that's awesome. That's compelling content.
Oh, yeah. Somebody in the chat put... Is Ron Zook better than Sean Slocum?
Nope. Think about that. Nope.
They're equally terrible.
Slocum was bad. He wasn't Zook bad. I'm sorry, but it's true.
Yeah, Zook's really bad.
Zook is terrible. And Zook has only got a job because he's friends with McCarthy. I mean, which is kind of why Slocum had the job too, but at least Slocum like had some ups and downs. He was at the mercy of some really bad personnel decisions. Like Zook's been given a lot more as far as resources go, and he's just completely failed.
He's given a fifth round draft pick of a punter.
You don't say.
Who's not worth it.
Anything else, Banky?
Bust.
It's 1 year. You got to let
bust.
It play out.
It's a bust.
That'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who connects with us all across the internet, be it here at Cheesehead TV or in any of our social channels. You guys really help make this a unique fan experience, and that's why Corey and I are here. We are, and will always be, devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
Hey, Winston, I'm sorry. Where is the Winston that has given us illumination and information in past press conferences? Do we do something that you're down on us again? But this was what, last week, it didn't go very well, and we want to talk about your guys, and I'm not quite sure what you want from us to make that happen.
I can't help you.